Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Beyond the cross of the Lord. We bow our hearts and we surrender. You are the source of us. We are nothing without you. We are nothing without you. We are nothing without you. You are holy. You are worthy. We left our house this morning to just take these things to you. Forgive us sometimes we slay and miss the mark. Thank you, God, for the best. You are here. But I found testimony to really bless you. But help us to always turn our eyes upon you. That we may never lose sight of the very reason that you have apprehended. That our success will not become our enemy. That breakthroughs will not cause us to break down. That we will not have too much comfort. In our passion.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, I have a request to us that this worship will be a seed for every minister here present, everyone here present, and we will never miss it. Let that be the fruit of this thing. But the more you lift us higher and higher, the more our roots go down in Christ Jesus. As you become the focus, that the speed of this life day will not match up with us. The speed of celebrity, but that we will take upon ourselves the form of the fathers like Jesus did, and clothe our hearts in humility. Just before I go, I get sitting down there, the Holy Ghost whispers the word within. Pick up my phone, and you are yet to learn. I pick up my phone, and pick up the video divine. Then I hear this song, the song.
The name of the Lord Jesus. We bless the name of the Lord Jesus this morning. We are excited and we are delighted. The Lord Jesus has allowed us to enter in, come into his presence this morning and bow before his throne. He is an awesome God, a mighty God. He is the land of the tribe of Judah. He is the one who reigns forevermore. And Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for this day. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. We ask you, O God, to bless the four corners of the earth this very moment. Bless the north, the south, the east, and the west, Lord. We ask, Father God, that you allow the four angels that hold back the four winds to take this word this morning that this woman of God, your servant, this evangelist, was released in the atmosphere into the hearts and minds, souls of your people. Father, we ask this morning, even as we partake of this holy communion on this Sabbath there, Lord, that you will bless this wheat of the field that represent the body of our dear Lord Jesus Christ's body, and this fruit of the vine that represents his blood that has been shed for us at Calvary. We ask, Father God, that you transform these articles from the natural to the supernatural, that as we partake of these articles representing his body and blood, and as they are transformed, there will be healing for our natural body, even as your word will be healing for spiritual body, in Jesus' holy name. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which I also deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Let's eat. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. What a privilege to come to the table of the Lord and eat of his body. After the same manner, he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye As oft as you drink it in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. And for this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Excuse me. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another, or wait for one another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that you come not together on the condemnation. And the rest I will set in order when they come. May the Lord add a blessing to this holy communion and to this reading of the word. Let us all drink together. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes us white as snow. Oh, the blood of Jesus that cleanses from our sins and make us cleaner than before. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord Jesus. We ask you to bless this service today, Lord. And we know it's blessed because you are in the midst. And bless the woman of God, your servant, your daughter, that you have chosen for this very hour. Lord, allow her to speak from the inside of her heart, O God. And let that the words that she speak and the meditation of her heart be acceptable unto you. Lord, before you, because you are her God, you are her Lord, and you are her Redeemer. Oh, we ask you to bless her eyes, bless her lips, O God, bless her ears, that as she see and hear, she will speak, God, none of her but all of you, Lord. And as she decrees, Father, I know that you are increasing even right now, God, for the atmosphere is already filled, it's saturated with your presence. You have, O God, you have eliminated every satanic power, every demonic power, every witch, every warlock out of the atmosphere so that your word can go forth with power and authority and it will hit its targets. Oh, God, many will be changed, many will be transformed, many will be healed, and many will be delivered this day. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Come on in, Evangelist Campbell, and allow the Lord Jesus to use you. Come on in.
Amen, amen, amen. Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Amen.
Bless each and everyone this morning. We thank God. We're thankful for being here this morning. We pray that God gets the glory of our lives in the name of Jesus. We don't do anything for a show. We're just here to celebrate life, the life of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We thank God for Yahweh who have allowed us, his son Jesus. Amen. Oh, God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We thank God for God's resurrection, power, preaching Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank God for you, Apostle Calendar, and your wife, Lady Nancy Calendar, your family in the name of Jesus. God, we just say thank you right now for everyone who's connected on the vine, Lord. We just say thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus, for you have given us life. And, Lord, we say thank you for that in the name of Jesus. You have given us the opportunity to have eternal life. And for that, Lord, we say thank you. For that reason, we celebrate you. Yes, Jesus, you love us. Yes, you love us. And we thank you for loving us so much that you gave your life for us. We thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gift that you left behind for us so that we may endure in this life challenges that come before us. But Lord, we want to say thank you right now that you are with us through the trials, through tribulations, through ups and downs, through the good times, the bad times. Lord, we just want to say thank you right now. We lift you up, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus. I lift your name on high in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just want to say thank you right now, God, that you have mercy on us. Oh God, you had mercy when you went to the cross. Great is he. Lord, I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. I can stand and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he that is in me, oh God. And I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, right now in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Bless every church door that is open in your name, God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, God. We thank you for your Holy Spirit. We thank you for the gift of salvation. We thank you for your love. We thank you for life. Have mercy, oh Lord. In Jesus' name, we thank you, God. Amen and thank God. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of my name. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood, done sign my name. Oh, the blood, oh, the blood done sign my name. All the blood done sign my name. You got to take it personal. It's your life. As the blood signed your name. Say how,
Lord,
you know,
yes.
Because Jesus told me you got to take it personal. Jesus,
yes,
did it for
Jesus.
Us. The blood done signed my name. The blood. My name been signed by the blood. Not just any blood. Not just no man's blood, but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb that's been crucified for you and all. That hung on that cross, laid in a borrowed tomb, rose up with all power of heaven and earth, the blood of Jesus that ran down into the earth when he was on that cross for you and I. That same dirt that God took that dust, molded into a man, huh? That same blood, that same dust. Because the blood had to run down into the earth. He said he took the dust of the earth. But the blood had to run down in there. Because we are created from the dust of the earth. Oh, the blood. Is the blood sign your name? Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood. The sign my name. Take it personal. Oh, the blood. Yes, Lord. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood done sign my name. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood done sign my name. We thank God this morning in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus for his son, Jesus Christ. And that the blood, hallelujah, the blood of Jesus has made us whole. The blood of Jesus. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, we thank God this morning. And we want to talk about life this morning. Understanding life, what it's like. Hallelujah. We want to understand what life is this morning. We won't be able to cover it all because when I got to studying it, oh, Lord, we could be here for weeks and months reading what the Word of God teaches us about life and the understanding of life. Amen. If you will go with me, Lord, we thank you for your Word, and we know that it shall not return void. In Jesus' name, amen. So we go with me to Proverbs chapter 16. And we're going to begin with verse 1. The preparations of the heart are in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Man has a plan. But it says the preparations of the heart in man, and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, because, you know, we got that self-righteousness. I don't know about anybody else, but there are some times when I just feel like I'm buffed up, and then again, I feel like I'm nothing, you know. Got that bipolar mentality going on sometimes, sometimes tripolar. Sometimes I'm way, way up there, and I'm just, Lord, I'm excited, excited. And no matter what I go through, I never forget who I am and where I came from. But then that's just sometimes we just feel like we just are it all the time. We just feel like we are when we know that we know that we know. But self-righteousness, sometimes we have to tell to behave. We have to bring these things under control. If not, you'll find yourself thinking that your way is right. And the Bible tells us there are ways that seem right to a man, but the end thereof is destruction. And we can't be in our own self way. We have to be in the way of Christ. We have to be in the way that the Lord has for us. So it says all the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes. I don't see no wrongdoing in what I'm doing. That's what it's saying. But here it is. It says, but the Lord weighed the spirit. There's a divine balance, and God weighted us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because even when I spoke then and said, I don't see no wrong in what I'm doing, there are times when we know that things that we say and do is wrong, but we say and do them anyway because we feel like we just got to get it out there. But then be reminded within your heart and in your mind, in your spirit, within yourself, there's something on the inside that's telling you no, or there's something on the inside that's telling you yes. So But because of our obedience and disobedience, because of our self-righteousness, if the word is just proclaimed to us, we want to do it our way. So it says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts, here we go, your thoughts shall be established. Committed to the Lord, your thoughts will be established. It says, the Lord have made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Wow, you're predestined, and God already know what your destination is going to be. There are many that is on this journey, but you're not doing it for righteousness' sake. We're doing it for a show. There are some that's doing it for a show. Some that's just doing it whose heart is far from it. But they're just doing it for man's sake. Doing it for the coins. Not doing it for the glory of God. But do you know that your life is hanging in the balances? Do you not understand that this is your life? That you have allowed someone to manipulate, to dictate your life, but God already know, because it's been predestined. He knows. He don't want us to be in up there. But sometimes that self-righteousness just snatches some people, and they run with it, and they feel like some don't want to get back. Some have a way of knowing and feeling like they can't get back, but some don't want to get back because the self-righteousness has took over. But then the Bible tells us in verse number 5 in chapter 16 of Proverbs, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though he enjoys him, he shall not be unpunished. Meaning there is no escape, huh? There's no escape, because with all the things that you can conspire in your mind, and I thought about Ananias and Sapphira right here. Thank you, God. I thought about Ananias and Sapphira. Oh, my God. That life, that wellspring of life in them, they just threw their life away. How, evangelist? Because they decided to lie to the Holy Ghost. They decided to conspire in their hearts, in their spirits. They had it. They was on a stretch. They was on a home run. They was like, whoa, we all come together. We have decided that we're going to do what is right for God's people. We're going to sell everything. We're going to bring it back to the Lord's house, and we're going to divide it equally so that everyone can live. So we at first base, God. We the batter's up, and we're at first base. We're going to base number two. We all the way down here come the second runner. We're going to base number three. But wait a minute. Something happened. They conspired in their heart because they've gone so far out. They got it together. Everything's going good. We done got the money that we need. We done got the job that we want. We done got the house we want. We driving the car we want. Ananias and Sapphira said in their heart, we going to conspire. We going to lie. Huh? We're going to lie to the man. But little did they know they was lying to God. Huh? Because you have made a vow. You made a commitment to the Lord that we're going to sell everything. We're going to get X amount of dollars. And when we get that, we're going to, it's already yours. So you don't have to commit. That's what's already yours. God gave you a heart. He gave you a mind. He gave you a thought. So what belongs to you belongs to you. But when you take what belongs to you and you say, I'm going to dedicate this to the Lord, I'm going to use it for the glory of God, you're messing with your wellspring of life when you go against it. And this is what we want you to understand about life. Life is good. Every day I wake up, I'm thanking the Lord. Before my eyes even open, I hear the birds singing. I'm thanking the Lord, but I got to have an understanding. We need an understanding about life. Our mother carried us when we were conceived. Before we even conceived, God knew us. He knows me. He knows you. He knows us. He knows our going out, our coming in. He knows. So when Ananias and Sapphira conspired in their hearts a lot, they fell dead. And the sad part is they made it up in their mind they were going to lie to the man of God who's standing in as an oracle for the Lord. A man who covers them, the man that God has used to bless the people. And they decided that Ananias would go in first. And when Peter asked him, and he was asked, is this what you got? He said, yes. Huh? Is this what you got? How did he know? How did they know, evangelists, what they got? Because the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, because the Holy Spirit, the man of God does not live with you. He's not in your house. So when God shows him something, he reveals it to you. It's not that somebody ran to him and told him something about you or your life. The Holy Spirit has revealed it. No matter how you try to cover it up, he sees it. He's hearing God. Because he's got that connection, he got that relationship with him. And you have entrusted your pastor, your apostle, your leaders with your life. You need to understand you have entrusted them with your life, and they are accountable for your life. So you don't went met Ananias and lied to him. You say, why you wish to lie to the Holy Ghost? You thought you were lying to me. You're not lying. You're lying to the Holy Ghost and fell dead. Now, here comes Sapphira the wife, not even knowing that her husband has been urged out and being buried while she come in to tell the same lie. And she
Hallelujah.
I don't know where my husband is. I got plans to meet my husband when we get through telling these people what we're going to tell them, because we're going to keep part of this for ourselves. This belongs to us. We're going to keep this, but no, it don't belong to you anymore because you done already gave it to the Lord. But little did they know they wasn't going to meet each other no more. Why? because there's no escape when you conspire against the Holy Ghost. It tells us right here there's no escape. It says, no one shall not be unpunished. But verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. Amen? By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When we have God, when you say you fear God, see, that's why it says fear God. A lot of people take that in the wrong way, in the wrong texture. God doesn't mean be so afraid of him that you run and hide and like the man with the coins, thank you, Holy Spirit, who hid his one talent, who hid the coin that God gave him and refused to go out because he told Jesus Christ, he told the Lord, he said, I know that thou art a stern man, and I know when you come back, if I ain't got it, I know what will be. Jesus said, well, this is still more reason that you should have got out and done something with what I've given you. Try to develop what you have in you. You feel like it's not good enough. You want to hide it, but you say you fear me. But he don't want you to fear him in such a way that you do nothing. He wants you to take what he has given you, what he has blessed with you. No matter how you feel that it's not enough, work with it. So he says, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways pleases the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Better is a little, watch out, better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah.
Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devised his way, but the Lord directed his steps. Songwriter says, order my steps, Lord. Order my steps. Are your steps ordered by the Lord today? Are you walking in the path that God has ordained for you? Have you gotten off track? It's okay. If you've gotten off track, repent. Come back. Father, forgive me. As long as you've got breath, it's not too late.
That's right.
Right where you are. No, if you're not on the path that you started out on, somebody started this journey strong, but you've fallen weak along the way. You can stop right now in the mighty name of Jesus, right now in the name of Jesus, and ask the Lord, Father, to say, Father, forgive me for I have sinned, and I return to you, O Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come back. It's your life. Understand that he don't want you to be doomed. He wants you to live. He come that you may have life and life more abundantly. And this is what we want you to understand today, the things and the principles of life. So then he says, a divine sentence is in the lips of the king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. Again, control, huh? It's all about having control over. Sometimes we get so excited in the word. I know I do. I've been lost my way. I've been forgot where I am and run off and left the word. But here it is. Sometimes we got to have that control. We got to have that balance. Because although we know where we're going, there's somebody else who's watching. There's somebody else who's listening. But see, although we know where we're going, they got lost. Because we left and we jumped off the balance. We jumped off the scale. So we have to find that medium. We have to find that divine control. And I said divine control, that spiritual control, that we can keep it in a way that even the least of us can understand where are we trying to take them to. Okay? So then it says, a just weight and balance are the Lord's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness. Oh, but a throne established by righteousness. So our rulers, our leaders, it says that it is an abomination for them to commit wickedness. God is watching. God is in control. So we don't have to pray that anything bad happen to our leaders and God have placed us in our land, in our nations. We don't have to do that. If we just pray the way God told us to pray, not against him. He's already said that he is taking, he would take care of it. And it says, righteous lips are the delight of kings, and they love him that speak it right. The wrath of a king is a messenger of death, but a wise man will pacify it. He will do things that are peaceable. He will not try to disrupt our country, tear our country, destroy our peace. He will not a wise man. This is what the word of God teaches us. Verse 16 and 16 of Proverbs is, how much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding to be chosen than silver? Huh? The highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. If you keep the way of the Lord, it's saying you've already preserved your soul. Pride going before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So we need to learn to humble ourselves. Even Job had to humble himself. When Job was there and he was trying, he got self-righteous and condescending, but God had to remind him, and he had to bring himself, oh, Lord, nothing. Naked I came and naked I shall leave. Huh? I came out of my mother's womb naked. Nothing is going back with us. Yeah, they dress people up, but we're not you're not going to be clothed like that. None of this carnal stuff, this materialistic things, will enter into the kingdom of God. So it says that better is it to be of a humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Humility. He that handles the matter wisely shall find good. And whoso trusted in the Lord, happy is he. Wow, this life can be so great when we trust in the Lord. We say, have faith in God and trust in the Lord. And this life can be so great when we understand that. And it says, the wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life. Verse 22, this is our verse. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it. But the instructions of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teacheth his mouth, and added learning to his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bones. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The end thereof. See, we get this appetite. We get hunger. Our appetites can take us in the wrong direction. But it says there's a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. And if we understand that we stay focused on who God is. Nehemiah 6:3 said, and I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Wait a minute. They need hit Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, no, I'm doing a great work for the Lord. I can't come down. Well, I'm not going to lose focus. Whatever you all got going on, you keep whatever you got going on.
Hallelujah.
Whatever you got going on, because I'm doing a great work. And there are times when we're in our study and we're doing things, and I'm reminded that when people will come, our children, our grandchildren, and it will take our focus, but you can't allow those things to come in and remove the focus. He said, I'm doing a great work. And don't you know, when we're out on this journey sometimes, and we're doing a great work, we know we're doing a great work. Here comes that child with an issue. oh, I got to stop and I got to go back. I got to run back to the house. I got to, y'all just got to give me a moment. Hold on. No. Nehemiah said, I'm doing a great work. So I can't come down. And whatever it is going on, let it take care of itself. God will handle it. Why should what I do, this work for the Lord, see I'm doing God's work? Why should this work see that I'm doing? Huh? I got to call somebody else to come over here and take over because I got to go do this. No. Nehemiah said, no. I'm not going to leave it and come down to you. Whatever it is, deal with it. Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things are written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Where does your hope lie? We can't lose focus. Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Huh? That's why sometimes we get in a hurry. And we want to rush it. Now, sometimes you just can't rush it. You just have to speak what God says, speak. Oh, you might not want to say it because it might hurt somebody's feeling. That word come. It's either going to draw you or drive you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The enemy don't care what it uses. Alcohol, drugs, abortions. It don't matter. Adultery. All these things, lies, murders. The enemy don't care what it uses. But we using the word of God and we're afraid to speak the truth. We're afraid to speak what the Holy Spirit tells us to speak because it may intimidate somebody. No, it's going to bring deliverance. They feel this might be hurt for a moment, but it'll bring deliverance. It will bring them out. Stop holding back. Stop worrying about hurting people's feelings. Understand that you're saving a life. And with that life comes another life. It's a wellspring of life, is the word it's told you. It never stops flowing because it's a wellspring of life. It's just springing up life. And when you deliver that life, when you save that life, another life can be saved through that life. Luke 21:36. Watch ye therefore and pray always that you may be accounted worthy to escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. All things. So see, when you have focus, there comes responsibility. And with responsibility comes accountability. 21:36 says, watch ye therefore. Watch. Stay focused. He said, watch ye therefore. And pray always. Always, okay? Don't just stop when things get good. I'm okay now. Oh, God done delivered me. Thank you, Jesus. I'm good now. Whew. It's over. But here comes something else. I got to pray again. No, don't stop praying. He said, watch ye therefore and pray always, that you may be accounted worthy to escape, okay? To escape all things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Remember now in Proverbs 16, it tells us there is no escape for those that does not do right. He said there's no, in verse 5, 16 to 5, everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord, though hand joined in hand, he shall not be what? Unpunished. Means there's no escape. But Luke 21:36, it gives you a way out. First Romans 13:11 says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. At first, when you first came to the Lord, we was excited. We on this journey. No matter what came up, you weren't going to let nothing get in the way. You weren't going to lose focus. You didn't care what happened. First, it received the Lord. It's, oh, for God I live and for God I die. I'm on the battlefield for the Lord. I ain't going to stop running. But then somewhere along the way, your feet start getting waxed cold and you started losing focus. But Romans 13:11 says, awake, wake up out of your sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than we believe. So this was telling you to understand life. Understand that you have to stay focused on this journey. Proverbs 4:25 say, let thy eye look right on and let thy eyelids look straight. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. Don't stoop, bend about. Be like those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Don't do it. Because your life pinned on it. Isaiah 50:7 said, for the Lord will help me. Therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. When you, he said, I set my face like a flint. I ain't moving. I'm not going to turn to the right or the left. I'm going to stay focused. And if I stay focused, I'm not going to be ashamed. God's not going to let me be put to shame. His word is true. His word is true. Then we got to have strength. One of the understanding the principles life lies in our strength. We can't be weak, okay? Remember, Proverbs 16:3 says, commit thy work unto the Lord, shall be established. I'm going to give you strength. And this is what it's saying. Philippians 3:12 says, not as though I already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Amen. So you got to know that your strength is in Christ Jesus. Matthew 24:13, here's your strength lies within the Lord. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So now that we're not going to lose focus, we're going to remain strong in the Lord. And as we remain strong in the Lord, we will continue to focus on him. Because Romans 12:2 says, and be not conformed to this world, but ye be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Because when I keep my mind on Jesus, when I stay focused, my strength lies in the Lord. And I'm not going to be conformed to this world, but I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. And then it also tells us in Romans 12:21, be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Boys, there's sometimes, that one's right there, that sometimes these people will cross you and make you feel like, well, you got to get them back. But he says, no, be not overcome of evil. Don't let evil take you off your focus. Don't let evil steal your strength, because that's what the enemy came to do, to kill, steal, and destroy. And I reminded, thank you, Holy Spirit, I reminded to remind you, whatever you facing in life, whatever comes to distract you, whatever cause you to lose focus and you feel weak in your spirit, you feel weak in your body, the Holy Spirit says that's what the enemy came to do, to steal from you. Don't allow him to steal your joy. Don't allow him to steal your strength. Don't allow him to take away your focus from God. Because that is his purpose, to steal, kill, and destroy. But what is your purpose? It's to live and to have life and to give life. Just like Jesus came and gave us life, we're to give that same life. How are you going to give that life? By the word of God. I'm going to stand tall. I'm going to stand strong. I'm going to teach this word. I'm going to speak this word. I'm going to preach this word. I'm going to live this word. I'm going to talk this word. I'm going to walk it out in this word. In the word. Philippians 4:13 said, I can do all things
through Christ. That's right.
Which strengthened me. All things.
Hallelujah.
Be reminded that you can do it. Lord, how can I? I don't have the strength to do it. I don't feel like getting up out of bed. This is just not going the way I want it to go. Get up. The first commitment is to God and to yourself. Get up. You owe it to yourself to get up. You owe it to God to get up. Get up in Jesus' name because he said you can do it.
Jesus.
I can do all things through Christ Jesus with strength of me.
All
get
things,
up.
My Lord.
Go in the name of Jesus. I might not have a dime, but I'm going. I don't have gas in my car. I'm going. I can do all things. I can do all things. If you just set out on the path, remember he said, order my steps. When the Lord order your steps, then if he tell you to go, go. Don't give him excuses. Go. Remember he snatched the excuses from Moses. Moses tried to give Lord an excuse. He said, don't worry about it. I got Aaron. What's your excuse now? For every excuse that Moses tried to give God, God had a resolution. I got it. Same way for you and I. Same way. Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yes, I will help thee. Yes, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my... He said, with... His, did you hear? He says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness, of his righteousness, not yours. If you trust in him, if you stay focused, have faith, keep the strength. And then Romans 15:4 says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime are written for our learning, that though patience and comfort of the scriptures, we might have hope. I told you that earlier. Let's keep the reminder that Ephesians 4:29 says, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. And all of that is in our strength. And we thank God for our strength. And then wisdom. Wisdom. Mm-mm. James 1:5 says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that give it to all men liberally and upbraid it not, and it shall be given. And then James also said in 3:17, but the wisdom that is from above is first pure. Watch it. Wisdom is pure when it comes from God. He says, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. You won't be partial in your judgment. Like I was saying before, thank you, Holy Spirit. You'll speak what God tell you to speak. You'll be that oracle of God. Amen.
Hallelujah.
You won't be a hypocrite. You won't be standing there saying one thing, hiding, and being a hypocrite. You won't be telling somebody to save their life and you somewhere hiding trying to take yours away. Amen. Because
Jesus.
You're feeling like you're so desperate. Amen. But desperation can take you out of here. Lonely can take you out of here. Thank you, Holy Spirit. There's somebody right now in the mighty name of Jesus. You saying to yourself, I'm just lonely. If I had this person to share my life with, or if I could do this, don't lose focus. Whether you're a single man or a single woman, don't lose focus. Stay right there. Stay with the Lord. Stay focused. Don't lose focus. Your greatest proof is that you're in a place now that you can concentrate on God wholeheartedly. So take that time right there while you're feeling like you're lonely and you're not. And feel it. Feel it. Feel it with the word. Because you know why? Because now when God gives you a mate and a partner, that same crime that you had, you have to, now you got to share. But now where you're in a place where God has you, you can stay right there and focus. You concentrate and give that to God wholeheartedly. And guess what? When he pours back out into you, it's going to be wholeheartedly. It's going to be with his hand of right hand of righteousness. That's what he said in his word. Amen. Ephesians 5 says, speak then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but wise men. So be wise. And remember, Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. And remember, that's what Proverbs 16, Proverbs told us too, in Proverbs 16, when we started there. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearken unto a counsel is wise. Amen? So what we need to understand is that wisdom. We got to have wisdom. We got to stay focused. And we got to keep our strength in the Lord. These are understanding the principles of life. Along this journey, we say, I shall live and not die. Do you really mean it? Do you really declare that your life is your life and it belongs to the Lord, that it's not? Have you declared that your life is the Lord's life? Amen.
Hallelujah.
You say that I shall live and not die. The word of God, this wellspring of life that brings you life. Do you really mean that you shall live? Because if you live in this life, if you're understanding that you're living this life, then you won't lose focus. Things will come to distract you. But you got to be like Nehemiah. He says, I can't come down. I can't leave a great work to come down to that. Is it not why God has the apostles to assign someone over the wills of the church? Huh? Because of the work that they were doing was great. But now we got the widows out here. Wait a minute. We need to wait a minute. We got to assign some deacons. Y'all come here. Give us some deacons. So that we got to assign some people to this work to take care of the needs of the people. Because the work that we're doing is too great. We hear your voice. But it's not that we neglecting you, but right now we can't get to you because of the greater work, because we're before God's face, and what we need now is we can't come down to attend to your physical needs. So now God has assigned someone to distribute to the people. Do you not understand that?
Hallelujah.
So, and then this is what he says. He says, in Colossians 3:16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sometimes when you just got to moan, I never understood that until I get older, until I got a little bit older. Lord, sometimes I can just be standing at that sink and I begin to meditate on God, begin to meditate on his word. And God will give you a song that you ain't never heard of before in your life. He'll give you a song to sing and praise
Hallelujah.
Him. And you'll just begin to sing it. You'll just begin to praise him. Because it's life.
Yeah.
He gives you a song in your heart. Ain't nobody never heard that song because the Holy Spirit
Hallelujah,
just
Jesus.
Endowed
Thank you, Lord.
The song. Hallelujah.
Bless him. Yes,
and you'll begin to just praise him. And this is what it said in Colossians, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. I'm meditating. I'm singing with these birds. They out here praising God. Now God done put a song in my heart, and I'm just singing. Whoa, where these words came from, but Lord, I thank you. And you can't even remember.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Yes, truly. Hallelujah.
You can't because this is him. You've left yourself and you begin to glorify God. And this is how he will work. This is what he wants you to understand all the time. When you can forget about yourself and just put your eyes on him, concentrate on him, meditate on him. Luke 21:15 says, Lord, I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. What did you hear that?
Jesus.
Your adversaries and your enemies is going to be a blessing to you, baby. They're going to bless you. They ain't got no other, they can't resist the word. When you come, the devil going to flee. Ooh, the enemy come, going to run in the house and set the door, because guess what? They thought they was going to lay a snare for you, but they can't. And then success. Huh? Because guess what? When you said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me, he's guaranteed you success. You shall succeed at what you set out to do. If you don't lose focus, if you know where your strength lies in the Lord, if you just stay connected with him and you use wisdom, you shall succeed at the things that God has set before you. You will succeed. That's why Proverbs 16:3 says, submit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Huh? Established is what? It's come forth. Everything is going to be established. It's there. You shall succeed. Success. Understanding life. So when you understand those principles and those basics, then you'll know I have succeeded. James 4:14 say, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Huh? When you begin to lift him up, when you begin to humble yourself, he's going to lift you up, and the whole world shall see. The whole world will see. That's why Proverbs 3:5 said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding, because you can't understand the ways of God, because his thoughts are not your thoughts, and his ways is not your ways.
Hallelujah.
Told you to trust him.
Jesus.
So now you got to have faith, and you got to trust him. Huh? This is what you got to do. Jeremiah 29:11, and I'm coming to a close, says, well, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, said the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you what? An expected end. Wait a minute. To give you what? An expected end. Everything that you thought of, that you expected, coming to pass. So if you don't lose focus, if you take accountability and responsibility, because I told you earlier, when you take responsibility, you take accountability. Knowing that your strength is in God, you will succeed. Huh? You will succeed in everything that God has set before you. That's why Isaiah 41:10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, okay? And I will help you. And I will uphold thee with the hand of my righteousness. Huh? With the right hand of his righteousness, he will uphold you. So great is your faithfulness towards God. And if you understand that the Lord is on your side, and if you understand life, that we need to stay focused, be like Nehemiah, saying, I'm doing a great work, and I can't come down. And know that your strength is in God. And note that wisdom, when you seek him for the wisdom, he will give you wisdom, he will give you knowledge, and he will give you understanding. And he said, out of all thy getting, get what? Get understanding. Out of everything that you get in life, get understanding. It will take you to your success. Understanding will take you where you're trying to go. He said an established end, right? He said it right here in this word. Well, I know the plans that I have for you. Is that not what he said? To give you an expected end. That's what he said. Whatever you are expecting, you will receive it when you stay focused. The word of God for the people of God, understanding life. This word is so powerful. As I began to study this word and get into this message, I can apply all of this into my own life. And I can apply this to not just my life, because I know when I applied it to my life, there are others who's watching my life, that this light will continue to shine in not only in my life, but the light of other men's lives that come connected to me, that are connected on the vine with me, that our light never go dim. We are not the weakest link. God has given us strength. We will not fall from the vine. We will be stay on the vine. We will stay connected to the vine. We will stay connected in Jesus' name. We shall not fall astray. Keep your eyes on God. Stay focused in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for your word of God in the mighty name of Jesus that you have given me for the people, God. And, Lord, I know that your word should not return void. Lord, we just say thank you for allowing us to understand the wellspring of life and knowing that our life affects other lives. It affects the lives of our families and friends, our colleagues, Lord, but we want to say thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus that we'll stay focused, we'll keep our eyes on you, we'll apply the wisdom that you have given us, oh God, in the mighty name of Jesus to keep us safe in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your arms of protection that you have placed around us. Lord, we thank you for Apostle Calendar in the mighty name of Jesus that he reaches out. And he allows people, he affords opportunities, oh God, even where there's not no way, God. You've made many crooked places straight, Lord. We've seen it right before our eyes, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, we've seen deliverance. We've seen miracles. We've seen healings. We've seen blessings. Lord, we thank you right now that the great work shall continue to be a great work. And it has already been established, God, in the mighty name of Jesus. And for that, Lord, we thank you for Apostle and his wife. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for unity. We thank you for strength. And, Lord, for those who are connected to the vine, God, that you will give them strength to hold on just a little while longer in Jesus' name. I'm reminded in the mighty name of Jesus, when Jesus and the disciples were on a journey and they were traveling and that fig tree was barren, huh? Jesus wanted something to eat, but the fig tree was barren. It wasn't producing any fruit. And he wanted to hew it down. But the vineyard dresser said, Lord, wait, don't cut it down. Just give me one more chance. Let me work with it. I'm going to dig around the trenches. I'm going to try to purge some of this uncleanness out. I'm going to work with it, God. God is saying to us, we got to work with each other. We got to work with what Lord. We have. Jesus said he come that we might have life. He wanted something to eat, huh? He wanted something to eat. He wanted to feed for something. He wanted to feed a hunger, but there was nothing there. It was barren. So if you feel like you're barren, get connected. Stay connected. Just repent in the mighty name of Jesus. You feel like I'm empty. I just don't have anything else. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, come to the apostle. Come to the altar
thank
today.
You, Jesus.
In the mighty name of you, can come to the altar today. If you feel like you can't pour out anymore, I just don't have nothing else. The altar is open for you today. You can come for prayer in the name of Jesus. Just come to the altar. God has set the man of God in charge in the name of Jesus. Have mercy, oh God. You have blessed the apostle to dig many trenches, to save many lives, God, to understand the wellspring of life, that it was not about him, but it was about you, because you get the glory of every life. So that's what I'm reminded of today, that Jesus was on his journey, and that fig tree was barren, but the apostle, the vine, address and start to dig at the trenches. Huh? He started to dig around the roots of the tree. I'm going to put some more fertilizer down there. I'm going to put some of that lime down there. And I'm going to get some of them impurities out of that ground. Because, you know, when you start digging around the roots and you start digging out the trenches and you put a little lime down there in the ground and you start covering it up so that that tree can grab hold to it and that lime can start going in the root and start going up through the tree. So he said, if it don't, Lord, after the years, you let me work with it. If it don't, I cut it down myself. But I don't want you to touch it. God, just give me a while. And I can feel a power asking the Lord to give him some time to work with some people. I'm going to bring them back, God. Just give me a moment, God. Just give me, I'll find them. I'll bring them back. Huh? I'm going to leave the 99 and I'm going to go get the one and bring it back. Thank you, Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
So that you won't cut
Jesus.
It down. God, I thank you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. Have mercy upon us, O God. In Jesus' name.
Yes, Lord. Thank you so
Hallelujah.
Much, y'all. Evangelist Campbell, what a prophetic anointed word. Oh, you said so much. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this. You're your daughter, my spiritual daughter. Thank you, Father, for what you have allowed her to impart in us today and in the world, because the word is going forth over the airways. Lord, we pray, God, that you would pour back into her even right now. Lord, open that heavenly alabaster box right now and anoint her fresh right now, God. We ask, O God, that you anoint her in such a supernatural way, God, that she begin to feel the heat in her body, Lord God. Oh, Father, she know that you are touching her, Lord God. Lord, touch her like you have never touched her before, God, in a different way, God. Yes. We pray, Father God, that you, O God, encamp your angels around her dwelling place, around her vehicle, with her workplace. Every step that she make, Lord, I ask you, God, to order it, God. And, Father, we are so careful, O God, as you watch over her grandsons and her granddaughters and all of her daughters and sons, Lord God. We are so careful to ask you, God, to let the same anointing that you have placed upon her life, O God, rest upon her siblings, O God, all her family members. Lord, we ask even the ones that are not saved, Lord, draw them out of darkness into the light, O God. Lord, we ask you, God, to do it even right now, God, that she would say, Lord, yes, I have seen the salvation of the Lord. Lord, it's time for me to go now because I've seen your hands upon my children and my grandchildren, Lord. Like Simeon, when he saw Jesus, the baby, he asked the Lord to God to allow him to go on to depart in peace because he has seen the salvation. Oh, Father, we thank you today, Lord, for what a blessed word you have given to us. I tell you, I was elated of this word. You have touched so much of the, I'm not going to preach the word, but you have touched so much of the patriots today. You know, one thing that I like, you said so much, but there's one patriot that I like that a lot of people don't focus on him a lot, is Nehemiah. Nehemiah was such an awesome man of God.
Yes.
He loved working for the Lord. And I love him. I talk about him a lot. Because, you know, when you're on your job for the Lord, there's a lot of distractions going to come. And they come from the people that are close to you. People you call your friends. The people you say their family, their cousin, their niece, their daughter, they're going to call on you because they want to distract you. Mama, can we just go to the mall today and have a sale on? Brother, can we just do this? No, we have the church has a cookout. You need to, no, because it's trying to get you down off that wall, want to get you from working for the Lord. And Nehemiah said, why should I come down from doing a good thing? A great thing, not just a good thing, but a great thing. You got to understand that what you're doing for the Lord is great. It may not look great to those that are looking, but what you are doing for the Lord is great. The folks that are looking on might just say, well, she's just speaking that word. He's just speaking that word. But in God's eyes, it's great. And then in your eyes, it ought to be great because you ought to be seeing what God is seeing, what God has shown you. Hallelujah, glory to God. Amen. So why should I come down? And I like what you say. Why should I go get somebody to come do the work that I'm supposed to be doing? That was so powerful. You know, that was so powerful. Glory to God. Self-righteousness will cause a man to lose his or her soul. Do you hear that?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Self-righteousness will cause a man or woman to lose his or her soul because they get so caught up in self, but they miss what God wants done. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because see, a lot of times when we get distracted, like they were trying to distract Nehemiah, you know, your friends will distract you. The ones that you think really your friends, because what they're doing, they're giving you what you want. They're praising you. They give you accolades. Oh, Pastor, you can preach so good. Oh, Pastor Bishop, I like when you preach. Oh, Pastor, when you preach, I just get a tingling in my body. See, that's what you don't need. That's for God. Because you're working for God. See, but they're trying to praise you and make you preach, building your head, building, making your head swell. So now you get self-righteous because they can't do it without me. I've been doing so much for them. I got to be there to do it. And God said, look, I'll get a donkey to preach if you don't want to preach. God said, I'll bring a donkey if you don't want to do what I call you to do, because you want prayer. You know you're in yourself. You are tied up in yourself. You're so, because you got the degree now. You got the PhD. You got the MA. You got the BA now. So everybody say, you know, you got a doctorate degree, girl. You don't need to deal with them. You don't need to help them. You don't need to go down to the building anymore. You can go anywhere. Somebody let you preach, because you know you got the paper in your hand that says that you are qualified. And what God is saying. Absolutely. I see that old donkey over there that tied to that tree. I loose that donkey, and that donkey start preaching for me.
That's right.
Self-righteousness. Because most of the times, self-righteous people are more focused on themselves.
That's right.
Their own needs than the need of the Savior to his people.
Mm-hmm.
Hey. Self-righteous. They're focused on their self. They're focused on their needs. Their own needs. I want this. I want that. I got to get this. I got to get that. But then when they find a need, though, they want to come call on the Lord.
That's right.
Because the doctor give me a bad report, Lord, and I know the only one can fix it is you, Lord. But they forget when God had a need. He chose them.
Mm-hmm.
But they reject the answer. Mm-hmm. Self-righteousness aligns itself with the spirit of deception.
That's right. That's right.
Do you hear that?
That's right.
Self-righteousness aligns itself with the spirit of deception because it needs what it needs. It wants what it wants, so it will use everything that it can to deceive to get what it needs. Self-righteousness. Ananias and Sapphira, I like when you bring that in too. That was beautiful. Ananias went in and thought he was deceiving the apostles.
That's right.
Wasn't telling them the truth. And the half-truth is a lie.
It's a lie.
See, but the apostles wasn't questioning him. He was talking off his own self. And the Holy Spirit at the same time spoke to the apostle.
Mm-hmm.
The apostle didn't ask him how much you sell it for. Because the Holy Spirit told him.
That's right.
And then the wife came in with the same deceptive spirit because it's all about their own needs.
Mm-hmm.
And what was so powerful about that sermon, Peter said to them, well, you had this stuff, wasn't it? Well, your own, you could have do what you want to. But you decided to do what you want to do and then come and lie to the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost knows everything. You can't lie to him.
Right.
Working for the Lord is a great work, like Nehemiah said. And it should be first. Don't let anyone distract you from doing it. And you know you're working for the Lord. Don't let anyone distract you. Because guess what? The Bible says we're going to have to give an account.
That's right.
For every word and every work that we have recorded.
That's right.
We're going to have to give. We're going to have to give an account. The word of God will draw, like this when you say this, will draw you or will drive you. And I said, so release it with power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
When you're releasing the word, get rid of self. Let the Holy Spirit use you. So that when you release it, it'll either draw them or drive them. Release it with power and authority. We must be completely committed to the Lord. Not partially committed. If you're partially committed, you're not even connected at all.
You're not connected at all.
You have to be completely committed to the Lord. 100% committed to the Lord. Not committed to the preacher. When the preacher died, what you going to do? When the preacher is in the hospital, what you going to do? Going up to the hospital and talk to the preacher?
Hey.
You have to be completely committed to the Lord. 100%. Don't do it because the preacher said do it. Do it because God has spoken to your heart. Guess what? When God called us out of darkness, we hear him. He said, well, how do you know that? He said so. That's how I know. When he called me out of the crack house, I heard him. No longer will you be able to smoke crack cocaine. If you even try to smoke it, you're not going to get high. You're just going to be smoking, but you're not going to get high. And guess what? I knew it was him because I tried to smoke again, and I couldn't get high. Everybody else was getting high, but I couldn't get high. The substance could not affect me because God has blocked that area of my brain. It could not affect me. If I smoke it right now, it wouldn't do nothing to me. So why smoke it? I'm high on the Holy Ghost. I'm high on the Holy Ghost. So we must be completely committed to the Lord. Everything that we do, listen to this. This is what I write down from hearing what you were hearing, the spirit you were preaching in. Everything that we do should give glory to the Lord. Everything. Everything. Even if you're having a sexual encounter with your husband, listen to what I'm saying. I'm not saying to the girl on the side or the man on the side or some hoochie mama. I'm saying if you are having a sexual encounter, because God created us and he gave us that gift to have sex with our mate. Hallelujah. It's not a crime. It's not nasty. It's clean. If you're having a sexual intercourse with your husband, with your wife, it ought to be giving God glory. Because you're telling God, I appreciate this gift that you've given me that I can share with my partner. Oh, my God. When you was preaching, I've never heard that in my spirit before, but I heard it. Hallelujah. You should be able to enjoy your husband, enjoy your wife, because God has given you that partner. I'm talking about a man and a woman, not a man, or a woman and a woman. I'm talking about a man and a woman, or a woman and a man. Hallelujah. This is what I got out the sermon. And when I was writing this out last night, the Lord said this, all he tells me. He said, life, living life, working it, understanding it on its terms. You cannot live life the way you want to live it. Life has a way that it must be lived. That's what the Lord told me last night. You can't live life any other way. If you're living life as an alcoholic, as a drug addict, as a homosexual, as a lesbian, as a thief, you're not living life on its own. Life has a way that it needs to be lived. And the way you have to live life is the way that the Lord showed me last night is holy, righteous, God's way. This is why your ways does not match up with his ways. His thoughts don't match up with his thoughts until you get the manuscript. When you get the manuscript and you begin to study the manuscript, your thoughts will begin to line up with God's thoughts. Because his thoughts are in the manuscript. Understand this. It's in the 66 books. Understand? So we have to get in the book and get the book in us so we understand how God wants us to live. We can't appreciate each other because we don't understand God. We have an offenses with each other because we don't understand God. Oh, my God. We can't agree with each other because we don't understand God. See, if we understand God, we understand that you're my sister, I'm your brother. We are brothers and sisters in the Lord. So now we begin to understand God wants us to truly appreciate each other. Love on each other unconditional, not because of what you can do for me or what I can do for you, but because of what he has done for us. This is the word of God. This is it. Father, we thank you and praise you, O God, for the word that you have given us today. There's people on the line, but we know they're not going to respond. We thank you for the word. And we thank you for those that you allow to come and hear this word today. What a mighty, powerful word. Father, you have used your daughter in such a miraculous way today. How she has taken those scriptures and placed them like bricks on a wall. Align them, O God, to make sense to us, the hearers of the word. That now we can become doers of the word because we have heard the word. We ask you, Father God, as we leave this line today, Lord, but never your presence, that you bless somebody today that as they hear this word, they ask, what must I do to be saved? And, Father, that they would reach out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. I've been sinning all my life, living my life on my own terms, the way I chose to live my life. But today, Lord, I have heard the word, and I'm convicted in my spirit that I need to be saved in order to live life on its terms. Jesus, I denounce Satan and all of his agents, and I come to you just as I am. I'm asking you, Lord Jesus, to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Wash me in your blood, your precious blood that was shed on the cross at Calvary. And Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to fill me with your holy presence. Fill me with your Holy Spirit right now. Lord, give me a clear understanding how to live life on life terms. Lord Jesus, I accept you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. I denounce Satan and all of his agents. I repent of my sin according to Acts 2 and 38. And Father, I recognize that you would give me the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I accept the gift, which will help me to live life on its own terms. Lord Jesus, I'm asking you now to begin to order my steps from this day onward. Help me to live the life that will bring glory to your name. I no longer want to live the life the way I was living it, but I want to live life the way you have ordained it for me to live. I've made many mistakes, Lord Jesus, but today I come with a mindset knowing that you are the only one that can help me to correct my life. If you said that prayer and you believe in your heart that Jesus heard you, I want to say this. The same way he delivered me from crack cocaine, he'll deliver you from whatever sin held you in bondage. Now call up a pastor, preacher, teacher, and tell him you received the gift of salvation. You don't even have to say on Blog Talk, really, but you receive the gift of salvation. And tell them that you are studying your Bible, because the Bible says study, don't say read. You're studying the Bible, and you're getting the understanding with the help of the Holy Ghost of what the Word of God means. But you need to be baptized. And before you get baptized, call your friends, your family, your co-workers, and even your enemies. Why? Because this is the greatest day of your life. I could always remember when I talked about this, the day that I got baptized. I tell you, when I got baptized, I ran off. I went down the water and came up with a robe. They had me in the right robe. I was soaking wet from head to toe because I had been, they call it baptized, but I wasn't baptized. I was sprinkled back in the country in the Caribbean. You know, because all the churches was under the Catholic. And I was going to Episcopal Church, and they dip the water in the basin and pour on your head. We call sprinkling. I thought it was baptism. And everybody said, I got baptized. But, you know, after I came to American General Apostolic Church, Pentecostal Apostolic Church, I realized that I never was baptized. But this time when I got baptized, I went down in the water. When I came up out the water, my Lord Jesus, I tell you, something happened inside of me. Nobody can explain. They can just excited and tell you how what they felt. But they can never really explain it to nobody. Tell they go down the water and know what it's like. I ran off, man. I was crying, snorting, and everything. And the lady that baptized me, she said, leave him alone. The Holy Spirit got him. And I couldn't stop running and crying and laughing at the same time. But I tell you, that's the highest time I've ever gotten in my whole life. Cocaine could not get me that high. Alcohol couldn't get me that high. Corn liquor could not get me that high. You understand? I tell you, but when God touches you on the inside and you get baptized, your life will never be the same. But that doesn't mean that you're not going to have trials. But Jesus said, in this world you will have trials and tribulations. He said, but remember, I overcame. Because he overcame, we overcame also. But we're going to go through trials. After you get baptized, find a church that is preaching and teaching the word of God. We always say that because a lot of people go to church because the music is good. The choir, the praise team is, oh, they can sing. Those girls, those men, they know how to put the alto and the tenor and the baritone and all the soprano and all that. They know how to put them all together, put those voices together to make them sound melodious. But that don't get you to heaven. Hearing the true gospel and living the true gospel, not just hearing. It's if faith without works is dead. So you got to hear the word, and then you got to activate the word. So you want to get to a place that is teaching and preaching sound doctrine, makes sound people, so that you can be a sound person. You know, you're on the highway to heaven. You're not living to die. You're living to live again because you are studying and living the word of God. Many people say they're going to heaven, but they're going to end up in hell. And I'm not the judge, but I know so, because Jesus said so. So many said, Lord, Lord, in that day, I done this and I done that and did that. He said, depart from me, your work of iniquity. These are people that preach the gospel, sing the gospel. But guess what? They didn't live the gospel. This is what this message tells me today. This is one of the messages I got out of the message. You have to live it. Life is not life if you don't understand life. Understanding life, you got to understand God's way. God has a way that life must be lived. He has a way that life must be lived. And when you understand that way, everything becomes very simple to you, simplistic to you. See, you don't have to, preacher said this morning, you don't have to have a lot of money in your pocket. You don't have to be rich. When you understand this stuff, you can have a dollar in your pocket and feel that you got $1 million bill in your pocket. You hear what I'm telling you? Because you know that you have the key. You have the key to heaven. Glory to God. So, Father, we just thank you for all those that receive the gift of salvation, all those that receive at a later date, those that heard this word. This word, I cannot wait. I got to get off. When I get off of here, I got to call the pastor in India. He called me last night. I didn't have a chance to call, to pick the call. So I'm going to call him and talk to him and pray with him. And, you know, call him through messenger. God has made an avenue that we can reach people in any part of the world, and it don't cost us anything. Ain't God awesome? I remember when the car used to cost me $100, this $150, and that means to talking on the phone. We had a phone call one time, was $1,400, and God had to pay it off. You know, the phone didn't ever shut down. And then they come up with cash, what do you call it, WhatsApp and Messenger and all the different lines that we could call through venues and don't have to pay. I said, God is just so awesome. We can pray for hours on the line from in different countries and don't pay. God is amazing. And we just thank God for you, brother Deacon Fraser. We thank God. I went on the line last night, but nobody was on the line. But just God, yeah, whatever. We just thanking God and praising God. Pray for keep Pastor Brown, Andrew Brown in praise, keep a minister on day in prayer, keep a pastor Linda Washington in prayer, keep Bishop Washington in prayer, and Pastor Millie Jefferson in prayer, keep Prophetess Jackie in prayer. She's been on my heart. I've been lifting her up, and keep Prophetess Marcel Smith in Chicago, keep her in prayer, and keep Prophetess Christina Miracles in prayer. Keep these people in prayer. These are people that pray for us all the time. We know because we feel their prayer. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So keep the body of Christ in prayer. We are in a very dangerous time right now. I mean, they're attacking Christians. If you go on YouTube, Christians are being attacked for preaching the gospel. I just saw here some part of the United States that the police come. I mean, about 15 police come for one pastor. He was on the street with a microphone preaching the gospel. And they told him he can't preach on the street. And they wouldn't let his wife see when they were surrounding him. Tell her she couldn't come. She had a cell phone taking a picture. She was the one who took the picture and posted it on YouTube. And they told her if she come any closer, that she would be going to jail with him too. So they took him to jail for preaching the gospel. So the Bible tells us this, that in the last days he will be persecuted for his name's sake. So don't be surprised when you're preaching. You may have a ministry in your house. They come and break down your front door because the ministry in your house is going over the airways, and they want to stop that. So don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's coming to that right now. You know, the lady was going to the school, and she was a transvestite, you know, transgender person, and she was going in there, and all the time she was going in there, she was building all this anger against the Christian people. She bought about 7 guns. Finally, she went into the school and she killed the people, about 5 people, I think they said, about 5 people. I can't remember the amount. And in Tennessee. So you got to understand your life is no longer your life. It belongs to Christ. But once it's hidden in Him, they can only kill the body.
That's
but
right.
The life is hidden in Him. They can kill your body, but they can't kill your soul. Your life is in the soul. It's in Him, Christ, in Christ Jesus. So remember that. So we thank God for you all and bless the name of the Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, daughter, for that word. It was so such. It is not worth because it's still moving. It's in the atmosphere. The word have life. You know, the Bible says the letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. So the spirit of the word is going. It's in the atmosphere. So we thank God for you. Have a blessed evening, safe evening. I'll stop by the brother deacon again tonight and see if he's on and see if we hear a word. I don't have too much to say because people say when you say stuff, people come back and throw it at you. See, you talk about them and stuff like that. So I try to keep my mouth closed. Anyway, God bless you all. Thank you again.
God don't want you to keep them.
Yeah. Okay. So I will talk to you later, daughter. So God bless you, okay?
Amen.
God bless you. All right. Bye-bye. Let me call Pastor Gudis in India now.